A gemar chatima tova, my friends. I hope you all enjoyed a meaningful Rosh Hashanah. We are going to combine 2 days, day 31, working with what you've got, and day 32, warming others in order to be able to finish up the 40 days by the time Yom Kippur runs around. The entire Aseres Yemei Tshuva, the 10 days of repentance, are sponsored by the Soul Sisters Renewal Challengers. Debbie, Adana, Goldie, Chana, Lauren, Michelle, Rosa, and Tracy, thank you all for being such avid participants of the 40-Day Challenge and for sponsoring this. I really, really appreciate it. All of your wonderful support is very much appreciated. So we're going to do day 31 and day 32, working with what you've got. Now, I included a couple of really powerful stories in here. I'm just going to share one of them. About 57-year-old Rachamim Melamed, who was the father of 6 beautiful children. He had a PhD in special education. He was a big shot in the Israeli Ministry of Education. He had already authored 2 critically acclaimed books. And then he was making Kiddush on a Shabbat evening. The Kiddush cup started to shake, the wine spilled. He and his wife visited a number of specialists, and unfortunately, he was told that he had ALS, better known as Lou Gehrig's disease. And it was a terrible, terrible disease, unfortunately, where the muscles stopped working and he became paralyzed. And even though he was told he had only 3 to 5 years to live, he lived many, many, many more years. That was over 20 years ago. And even though he became completely paralyzed, can only communicate through a program which tracks eye movement, Rachamim starts every one of his days by davening, by praying, and by learning Torah. He goes to work and he is consulted by people throughout the world, and he has mastered Photoshop, which allows him to actually paint with his eyes. This man has publicly debated Israeli advocates of euthanasia, and most incredibly, since his illness, he has authored 8 new books, including a book of advice for people suffering from chronic or terminal illness. And I asked in the chapter, how does a person whose life is so profoundly compromised function so highly? And the answer is because Rachamim Melamed Cohen can see abilities and qualities he has while working around what he doesn't have. He's like a great chess master, what I spoke about in the beginning of the chapter, where he can see possibilities that you and I, who are not great chess masters, cannot see. And this is an important trait to learn in life and to teach our kids, to figure out what we've got in our arsenal and use that, and not bemoan the fact that I don't have A, B, or C, but use what we've got. That's the title of the chapter. And I shared a beautiful piece of Torah from the Book of Kings, for part of Tanakh, where this woman approaches the prophet Elisha, and she's in total desperation. She had lost her husband and family. She's in debt. Creditors are coming to take her 2 sons as slaves, and she's crying out for help, and Elisha says, Ma yesh lach babayit? What do you have in the house? Now, Elisha didn't ask, do you have anything in the house that can help you? But he says, what do you have? There's got to be something that you already have that we can work with. And of course, he found something that was able to help and deal with the situation. And my question to all of us is, Ma yesh lach babayit? What do you already have in your house? What qualities and talents do you already possess that can help you succeed and make up? Because we all have deficiencies. We all have what's called in Hebrew, chesronot, lackings. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God gives us that which we need to be able to make up for it in some way or another. And I tell this to my students when they say, listen, I didn't go to Jewish day school. How do you expect me to learn how to read Hebrew? We just finished Rosh Hashanah. We're going to have Yom Kippur. We're sitting in synagogue all day. I said, you can take a Hebrew class. There's nothing wrong with that. Just because you didn't go to the day school doesn't mean you don't have the ability to actually learn Hebrew. And someone on a basketball team may not have the height, but they've got the speed and energy. Maybe we can't always give our bosses the exact work product they want, but we can come with such a positive attitude that people just want us around the office. Of course, that's not going to completely substitute for the other thing, but it's going to help. And we may not be able to open, as I say, like a Jewish text and understand everything that it says. But if you got a deep curiosity and drive, that can help make up. I know that I have students who don't know as much, but they're so amazing to have in a classroom. We all have impediments and flaws, but we've also been given great talents and strengths. The only question is, which do we pay more attention to, our flaws or our talents? And I was sharing this with my son, and he quoted actually from one of his teachers, Rabbi Moshe Benovitz, who said that one of the most important traits of an educator is resourcefulness. And he quoted the famous pasuk from Yaakov when he's running, Jacob is running from his brother Esav, and he says, Katonti mikol chasidim. I've become small from all the kindness that you, God, have done for me. And Rashi tells us that he was concerned that maybe he used up all of his merits, like the spiritual credit card was up. But Rabbi Benovitz suggested that Yaakov was really saying that maybe because he got all these gifts and kindnesses and resources, that maybe that made him smaller. Because sometimes when we have less, we're forced to expand. We're forced to rely on ourselves and not on the God-given talents. So that actually can be sometimes a crutch. And therefore, my bracha to all of us is to be able to find what other talents and make up for it. Ma yesh lecha b'bayit, what do you have in the home? We're going to go to day 32 now. And that is warming others. This is probably, in my opinion, the most powerful story in the whole book. And it's a story about a Jew named Yankel who owned a bakery in Crown Heights and came to the United States, and he was once asked how he survived the Holocaust. And he said he attributed his survival to one particular incident. And that is when he was in a boxcar. And sometimes the Nazis, when they were transporting Jews to the concentration camp in these terrible boxcars that were really made for animals, sometimes they would leave the trains attended overnight, even for days, and there were no blankets and it was freezing. And Yankel found himself in a boxcar with a fellow Jew, many fellow Jews being taken to Auschwitz. And it was freezing cold, and the Nazis left the train sitting at night. And he was sitting next to an elder Jew, a beloved gentleman he recognized from his own hometown. And the elderly man was shivering from head to toe. And so what Yaakov did is he said, I wrapped my arms around him. I began to warm him by rubbing his arms and his legs, his neck and his face. And I begged him all night, stay strong, stay strong. And somehow I kept the old man warm, but I was exhausted. And then everyone just fell asleep. And I woke up in the morning, and there was a little sunlight that came in. And to my utter horror, when I woke up in the morning, all I could see were frozen bodies. There was a deathly silence. No one in the car made it through the night, except for two people, me and the old man that I was keeping warm. The old man survived because someone kept him warm, and I survived because I was warming someone else. And that, my friends, is one of the great secrets of Judaism. That when you warm another person, you get warm yourself. The Talmud tells us, and I said this in the chapter, Ner le'echad, ner le'mea, a candle for one is a candle for 100 people. Because when you create light for another person, it's not like your light is taken away. I know this from my own work. I'm inspired right now because I'm just coming off 2 or 3 days of Rosh Hashanah, davening and meals with my participants. And I'm exhausted, but I'm energized and I'm pumped because I was sharing the Torah that I've treasured and the Torah that I was privileged to be given in my youth from my teachers, from my parents, from my Rebbeim, and sharing that with others allows us to be inspired ourselves. I was sharing this also with my son, Ezra, and he shared a famous Rambam from Hilchos Megillah. You can check it out. Chapter 2, Halacha 17, where the Rambam says, there's no greater and more splendid happiness than to gladden the hearts of the poor, the orphans, the widows, and the converts. One who brings happiness to the hearts of these unfortunates resembles the divine presence. But he says there's no happiness like that because we sometimes think that if I part with my money or I part with my time, it's going to make me less. It's just the opposite. You want to be happy? Give something away. The deeper we dig, this is Seris Yimei Tshuva, my friends. It's 10 days of repentance. This is the time to give tzedakah. This is the time to give of ourselves, to do chesed, to daven more, and to give more of ourselves and more of our finances to help others and other important institutions. I appreciate those of you who are sponsoring and are donating to MG. It's truly helping us. We need the help because the more we give, the more we shine. The more we warm other people, the warmer we stay ourselves. That is a secret of Judaism. And that is something that is so simple but yet profound that each and every one of us can do. Warm another person, you will warm yourself. It doesn't take anything away from you. In fact, it just adds. We should all be zocha, please God, in the coming year, and there should be a zechus, a merit for all of us as we stand before Hashem now in the 10 days of repentance to come before God as givers, as individuals who realize that the more we give, the more we're going to get. Have a good night.